So it's something about changing the way you see it. And I give an example of being in retreat, and I got in touch with a sort of a deep anxiety, very, very deep, fundamental anxiety, which had no storyline. And the only insight I had was that feeling of not being okay was somehow part of the mix, and the kind of awfulness of that. I was really vulnerable, very, very vulnerable. But anyway, I sat with it, and I breathed with it. I relaxed into it. I didn't really believe any of the things I was saying about it, but I was stuck with it. It like didn't move. And we're talking about 7 days later, you know. It was very interesting. And I wanted to know what would make it melt or something, you know. So I got to see Zeger Kuntrell. I mentioned it to him as kind of significant thing that was happening. And you know what he said? First of all, he said, oh, he said, I know that place. That was very helpful. He said, I've been in that place a lot. He talked about two major times in his life where he was in that place for months. And then he said it was a great teacher for him. Made him, he felt, a much better teacher. But then he said the thing that was most interesting. He said, describe it, and I was sort of describing it, which is interesting because this Shenpa thing is actually indescribable. Everyone wants to know what Shenpa is. I've done my best and enough so that you all are onto it somewhat. But the truth about Shenpa is that it's ineffable. And the meaning of ineffable is, I recently looked it up in the dictionary, you cannot describe it in words. And this is actually an important point because Shenpa is ineffable, which means that it isn't something, but you can experience it. And you do experience it all the time. And this gives you your own personal experience of what's being talked about in the teachings on emptiness when they say it's empty yet apparent. You experience it, and yet you can't quite pin it down as something. Basically, we're talking about the experience of emptiness, but when not looked at, it causes all the suffering and unhappiness in the whole universe. So it has a lot of power for something that's empty. How did emptiness get to be so destructive? Well, because we fixate it, you know. So somehow we're melting the basic thing. So there I was, nothing was seemingly melting, although in a way that week taught me a lot. Literally I was with my breath, labeling the thoughts, staying with the feeling. That's what I was doing. That's the basic tool. And then Rinpoche came and, oh, he said, that's the Dakini bliss. Do you know what happened? He left, and I couldn't wait to practice again. I knew it would be the same thing, but it was Dakini bliss. And I thought, right, bliss has that kind of intensity. Right. And, of course, it was gone. But what I realized was that at a nonverbal level, I was making it bad. You know, basically what was not okay was the feeling. And then that meant me, you know. That's very deep in us. We are completely identified with the Shenpa. It is Toys R Us, Shenpa R Us, you know. And so this gives you a little distance on it as a pattern which is freezing the unobstructed energy of egoless self. But then when he said that, that was melting it. or space coming into it, or warmth coming into it. You change the way you look at it. And there's no way to actually trick yourself into that, but you look for ways to melt it. Often, you know, it's like that. You're sort of stuck with it, and then maybe it's not your teacher. Maybe it's you take a book down from the shelf, and you open it, and you point to a line, you read it, and it says, that is the Dakini bliss. Or give yourself a break, or without pain, no compassion, or something, and it melts the ice that was completely unconscious on my part. Because I wasn't saying to myself, this is bad, this is bad. But in my mind, I was making it bad. So this is what we're working towards, is this isn't bad stuff. It's ineffable, and it's actually a doorway to relaxing into emptiness, into egolessness, into the vast, unobstructed energy of Rigpa, the open mind. That's what's beautiful. It's not just we're grinning and bearing it. We find our own way to, I always say, milk it for all it's worth, you know, to contact the Shenpa. And then you have to find out for yourself how to find the space, how to change the way you look at it so it isn't like a monster, how to welcome this present moment as if you had invited it and work with it instead of against it. I mean, really all the teachings are about this, but only certain ones are going to really speak to you.